With summer vacation in full swing, few students are thinking about school. They've got another month and change at a minimum before they end up back in a classroom. But while they're out, the discussions of the issues in public education are very much on. The country's teachers gathered recently to hash out positions on the issues. The National Education Association's annual meeting and representative assembly wrapped up in Denver last weekend. The president of the Oregon Education Association was there. Hannah Vandering is the OEA president. She taught physical education for 17 years at Ridgewood Elementary School in the Beaverton District and was elected OEA president in April 2013. This is a return visit. Hannah Vandering, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jeff. I appreciate your time.
So let's talk in general terms about the national meeting and the representative assembly. This sounds like a very, very large-scale gathering. Give us some description of what you saw and experienced there.
It's an amazing event. Our members from across the nation are elected by their colleagues to come together. We had over 7,500 educators talking about the issues. So we've got our certified teachers, we have our education support professionals, we have community college, higher ed. We all have the opportunity to come together to talk about the issues that are important to public education and how we're going to lead the way.
And so what was the hottest issue, would you say, at the national meeting this year?
You know, I think one of the issues that's been hot for quite some time, and it's really coming to a head right now, is around high-stakes standardized tests and what it's doing to take away the love of learning from our classrooms. We've been dealing with this for quite some time with No Child Left Behind being implemented, and it's time educators across the nation are standing up. There's a better way, and so our colleagues from all over had the opportunity to share their thoughts, and I want to say how proud I am in Oregon that we are out in front on this issue. We have a proactive plan about how to get it right for our students. They deserve so much better than to be focusing on a high-stakes standardized test, bubbling in answers instead of engaging in quality learning. So that's what the educators in Oregon are ready to lead.
For the folks who don't have kids in school now and maybe haven't for a while, I mean, how often are the kids tested compared to the way they were tested, say, a generation ago?
You know, what we put is so much emphasis on until this coming year, the OAKS test. We put all of our emphasis on where our students are on those tests. And so we spend a lot of time where educators are forced to teach to the test, and it just is not what's right for students. Our members do not believe that we should be doing that. But the emphasis coming from Secretary Duncan of, you know, everything is tied to how well students do on that one day at that time on this standardized test. And that is not what assessments are supposed to be used for. We're working with Nancy Golden, our chief education officer, and the governor's office, the Department of Education, so that Oregon can create a better system. And we will continue to advocate for, let's make sure that we use assessments to guide instruction, not to punish our students and our educators.
But there have always been some standardized tests, haven't there? I remember taking the Iowa test when I was a kid in school.
Right. There were tests given, and I took tests when I was school. And in fact, I believe that educators, we created assessments. But what we're saying is these are not being used appropriately. And we're putting so much stress on our students for this one moment in time. And the stories I can tell you about, you know, students, a third grade student sitting at the computer, because the OAKS test is a computer generated test that we've just had, with his fingers crossed and his eyes closed. And when the teacher walks up and asks him, you know, what's going on? Do you need something? He said, well, I'm done and I need to push the button. Because once you push that button, you see your test score. And he said, I'm afraid I'm going to fail. And that is not what this is about. When the student pushes the button and he was 1 point short and bursts into tears, Secretary Duncan is not sitting with him. Secretary Duncan doesn't understand that the emphasis on this testing is really impacting our students' ability to learn and to make sure that they want to come to school. And that's where, you know, we're not afraid of giving assessments. We believe we should be, but we should be using them right. And our students should be given the opportunity to learn the materials.
How different is the let me just take a break here anyway, because we got one coming up anyway. It would be a long answer. So we'll take a break here on the Jefferson Exchange and resume our conversation with Hannah Vandering, the president of the Oregon Education Association, on the other side of the break. You can join us on the exchange as we talk about issues in public education. They are many. We are talking about the standardized testing right now. We also have Common Core state standards to talk about, tenure, and a whole lot of other things coming up on the Jefferson Exchange with Hannah Vandering and you. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 30. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service, I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Hannah Vandering, the president of the Oregon Education Association, the OEA, a former teacher herself in the Beaverton District, elected to the presidency of the OEA in April of last year, just returned from the national gathering of the National Education Association and its representative assembly. So a lot of teachers talking about a lot of issues in the news. We have been talking thus far about standardized testing. We have the Common Core state standards and tenure and other issues in education generally to talk about coming up. Please join us on the exchange. Our phone number is here, 800-838-3760. That's anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. So back to standardized testing, Hannah, because the concept of teaching to the test was one that I remember hearing when more standardized tests were added over the course of the last 20, 25 years. The rebuttal, oh, no, we won't just be teaching what's on the test. But in a lot of cases, you do have to teach the material that's on there, even if it differs from the curriculum you've had that has worked for a long time, don't you?
Right. And educators do not want to teach to the test. They want to provide quality instruction that's differentiated so that each student that they work with has the information that they need, and we're moving them on the continuum. But once again, there's so much emphasis put on these tests that, when you walk into an administrator's office and the test scores are what's on the wall, it's not about whether that student is growing, whether they're learning, whether they're healthy and happy and learning and being prepared for success. It's about whether they can pass a high-stakes standardized test. That's not what education is. And the members of the Oregon Education Association believe strongly that at this moment in time, we need to lead the way and help create a better system. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Well, is the issue is that there is testing, or is the issue that there is so much emphasis and so much geared to happen because of the test scores?
It's because the amount of emphasis. Once again, as educators, as an elementary physical education teacher, I provided my students the opportunity to take tests, and it was important to me. It guided my instruction. It also gave them feedback about where they were at that moment in time so that they could work on those things that they needed to. But these high-stakes standardized tests, they don't give us feedback. They don't give the students feedback. And yet this is the end-all be-all about whether a student is going to be successful in life. It's just not the right way to use assessments. There's a better way. And I appreciate the work we're doing with Dr. Golden and the governor's office.
So what is that better way? We've skirted it a few times now, but now I'll ask you directly, what is the better system you're talking about?
The better way is to use classroom assessments that guide instruction. So every day when our educators walk into their building, they are assessing where their students are, and they use formative assessments. Some will call it like a ticket out the door is something that, is a term that's used now. You assess whether a student has learned the concepts in which you've covered during that instructional time period. And that gives not only the educator who's working with those students, but the student immediate feedback. Here's where you are. Here's what we need to do next. That's how we plan our next lesson that we're going to use. And that's where we want to put our focus, on those classroom or what some will call formative assessments. Now, when you use formative assessments appropriately and you're adjusting your instruction, the learning comes and the students will do much better on the high state or on the standardized test. But what we've done is, again, we put all of our money and all of our emphasis on this one test that's given, and it is the sole indicator that Secretary Duncan wants to use about whether our educators and our public schools are providing a quality education. It doesn't make sense. So allow educators who are working with students every day to create the formative assessments, to provide the quality instruction, and then we're happy to implement the standardized test, but let's take that emphasis off it and use the data from those in the appropriate way.
Do you have buy-in from the rest of the educational structure in Oregon outside of the OEA? Is the Oregon School Boards Association, are the administrators on board with this as well?
You know, we've had some conversations, and I believe that our administrators are on board. I certainly hope so. We've talked about this for quite some time. I believe that anyone who's ever been responsible for the learning of a student understands that we need to use assessments correctly. And we're working, like I said, with the governor and Nancy Golden, Rob Saxon, with the Department of Education. But as we're doing this work, we have to be brave enough to stand up to Secretary Duncan, who is forcing us to, you know, through the waiver, to do things that aren't what's right for our students. So this is the next steps of us creating that path. Through our Center for Great Public Schools, we've created our priority action document. It's all about how we move forward with using assessments correctly, and it's something that our members stood behind very strongly at our own representative assembly. And so we're excited. We have the information on our website. We're happy to be out working with parents and students, community members around a better way, because we believe that Oregon and the educators with the parents and students can lead a better path than what we're on right now.
Let us take some calls. We have Julie and Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Hannah Vandering, the president of the Oregon Education Association.
Hi, Hannah. Oh, I'm so glad for what you're doing. I really am. I believe I remember voting for you. I'm new to Oregon by 6 years now, and I came from California, from Silicon Valley. I am a music educator. I teach private piano, and I want to tell you what I observed when this program of No Children Left Behind came on board. Most of my private students started getting a depression settling in, and I am the kind of teacher you described a moment ago where you look to see where the child is, you assess, and then you take them from what they need to know, then you can move on. And so I would still do that, and I know they appreciated it, but they weren't getting it in all their arenas. And then what happened is sprung up all these tutorial businesses. You know, I won't name any of them, but so it was another way to suck people's money. They're first paying taxpayer money and not getting anything for what they're paying for. And then secondly, there's these businesses, like a whole almost intentionally created market to de-educate so that then you could sell the education again to the people and their families. And I saw this happening. I lived in a very affluent area of Silicon Valley in California, so I just saw this going on, and the kids were just really in limbo. They were not getting what they needed. And I think this might even carry into the college level, where they're trained to excel in a certain way and pay expensively for education, which then only educates a few of our population rather than all of our population. And they're not being taught to be independent thinkers and to cultivate themselves. So I'm sure you understand what I'm saying, and I just think education has become a distraction and disempowering, and I'm happy to hear that you're bringing it back to parents and teachers.
All right, so. Julie, thanks for the call. Hannah, that's quite a kindred spirit you got going there.
Absolutely, and that is, this is an equity issue as well. Our students, each and every student who walks into our schools needs to be provided a quality education. And when when we're pushed to do things as educators that we don't believe are right for our students, it doesn't make sense. So I encourage and I appreciate the parent support that we've had working with the Parent Teacher Association. They've been great working on some of the issues, you know, in Oregon around class size, around safety in our schools. So thanks for the call.
We are talking about educational issues here on the Jefferson Exchange. Our guest is Hannah Vandering, who's the president of the Oregon Education Association, the Teachers Union. You can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Standardized tests have been a large part of the discussion so far. Here's Tom and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Hannah Vandering.
Good morning, Jeffrey, and thank you very much for your very high-quality shows. I enjoy them very much.
Thank you.
So it's good to have a counterpoint in a discussion so you can explore the different sides. And
sure.
As a scientist in my career, it's been necessary to ask the question of what do you know, how do you know it? You need to have, and the answer is that you need objective metrics in order to measure performance and accomplishment. Regarding the standardized tests, I think that the people who are responsible and behind them, their idea is that you need an objective metric to measure how well not the students are doing, but how well the teachers are doing. And I think it's understandable, unfortunately, the educational associations are opposed to the standardized tests because it's not about testing the children, it's about testing the teachers. And the example given of a child having anxiety over the test, it's not necessary to even tell the children the results of the test because what's being tested is whether the teachers are being successful in doing their job. And I think it's going to be very difficult to make progress in educating Americans' children without a clear, objective metric in order to test how the teachers are doing. And the children can be protected by not even being given the results. Anyway, just a comment, and thank you again.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the call. So, Hannah, this is the flip side of it then. I mean, the measurement is really for the teachers and not for the students. Is that the way that the NEA members tend to view it?
Absolutely not. And I appreciate the thoughts there around how the assessment should be used. But our students are, these are high stakes for our students. It's not just about the educators. When our students push the button because they need to know whether they passed or not, that's part of the Oaks test. And so what we've done is our juniors this year are scheduled to take the Smarter Balance Assessment Consortium. It impacts their ability to move on and go into higher education. And we don't have a plan for how we should be doing that. As a state, our members are saying there should be a way. Our members have no problem being held accountable for the work that we do and we've created in Oregon quality evaluation tools. The Oregon Education Association and our members worked extremely hard to make sure that we have those tools that are effective, and now we want them to be used appropriately. We want to ensure that every educator that works with students in our schools has the skills that they need to be successful with their students. So it's not about whether we use the standardized test. It's we shouldn't be putting the high stakes on them, and we shouldn't be spending the millions and billions of dollars across the nation on these tests where for-profit companies are making money. Let's create the assessments that give us in the feedback that we need so that we can be better in our job as educating our students and so our students can be better prepared to learn those things they need.
So when you say prepare an assessment, are we talking about a whole different test that is one that is created by teachers?
Well, you know, the formative assessments are best when they're created by the educator who's working with the students. So that we have some of our districts who have received grants that are working on creating those assessments. But when you look at the Smarter Balanced, this is the high stakes standardized test that's going to be used. That's the one that's rolling out for the Common Core State Standards. We don't have a problem with using it, but we want to make sure that it's right and it provides the information that we need. So we're talking about, let's field test. Let's make sure that it's correct. Let's make sure that we have the instruction in place. The juniors this year who are going to take that test, if we move forward, have not been provided instruction on the Common Core State Standards through their career. So why would anyone think it would be appropriate to assess them on standards that they have not been taught? We've been using the Oregon standards. So what OEA and our members are advocating for is let's use an assessment that will give us feedback where students are on the standards that we've been teaching, and then scaffold the learning and implement the Smarter Balance assessment or the assessment when we get it right, so that our students can be tested on things that they've been taught. And, we don't have an issue with the Common Core State Standards as far as creating that opportunity for vigorous standards that provide our students the ability to be prepared for success. But right now, we are just rushing into implementation of something that we're not ready for. So we would prefer, let's get it right this time. Let's stop the crazy, we've got to implement this now because our students are not learning. Our students are learning. I offer to anyone, please go into your public school, sit down with the students and the educators and see what great things are going on in your community, and then help us build something better. That's what OEA and our 42,000 members are dedicated to doing.
Let's take another call. We have Michael in Mendocino on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Hannah Vandering, the president of the Oregon Education Association.
Well, good morning, all. This is an issue close to my heart. My wife and I have three girls, one of which is going to Davis right now. The other one has got a 4.0 or 4.5 rating in the current school here. Is brilliant, and she's already been, as a sophomore, looked at by such organizations as West Point and so on and so forth. Their great benefit they had is that their mother was a teacher back in her earlier days, and she was able to individually teach these girls a unique teaching to the unique characteristics of both girls. So I'm all for this. If you can, in your fight against Common Core, keep individual students taught individually as best as possible. With technology changing as fast as it is, how are you teachers to keep technology?
Michael, try again. Your cell phone signal just faded, so try again with the question.
Okay. In the future, we're seeing technologies come out that are so incredible. How are you educating your teachers to keep up with this type of technologies? And I'll keep my answer off the air.
All right. Thanks for that, Michael.
That's a great question. And as I hope the listeners are aware, we just completed the Tell Oregon survey in which we ask educators across the state, including our administrators that are assigned to a building, the teaching and learning conditions. And technology was one of the issues where it was dependent on where you were in the state, whether you had the resources and the materials that you needed to be successful with our students. And so our hope is that we can work with districts and the Department of Education to make sure that we look at that data and we get those things in place for each and every student. Again, I go back to, this is about equity. So if we have rural school districts that don't have the bandwidth to be able to even use their technology for the assessment that we're supposed to be implementing, we need to get that in place. We need to provide them the assistance that they need to make sure that people are prepared. The other area on the TEL survey that came out very strongly was around professional development for the educators. And that's one area that we can really improve on in Oregon. It's looking at what those items that educators need to be successful are and then providing that. So I encourage everyone to look at telloregon.org. It's got all of the results from the TEL survey for your schools.
That was the reason we had you on in March to talk about that. And yes, telloregon.org will get people to that. We'll come back on the program here and talk more with Hannah Vandering about educational issues in Oregon and elsewhere. She is the president of the Oregon Education Association. We'll come back and take more of your phone calls and emails in a minute 10. It's the final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking about educational issues with Hannah Vandering, the Oregon Education Association president, OEA, the major teachers union in Oregon. Hannah is just back from the National Education Association's annual meeting and representative assembly in Denver. A lot of talk about education there, a lot of talk about education here on the Exchange, and you can be a part of it. Always a lot to talk about on this particular front. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Okay, a couple different directions we could turn. I want to close off the thought we just were addressing about technology, though, Hannah, because there was an indication from something you said about still a very unevenness there across Oregon school districts. I mean, I can remember back to the 2x2000 campaign to get two computers into every Medford classroom by the year 2000, a very long time ago now. I mean, are we still trying to hit those kinds of benchmarks, or are computers a bit more ubiquitous?
Well, we have computers in our schools, but they've become outdated so fast, and it's having the bandwidth to be able to do some of the activities on the computers for these tests. For instance, with the new Smarter Balance assessment, it comes with some streaming videos, and you have to have great bandwidth in order to do that. And for some of our schools, we don't have that. Looking at I believe it was the Hermiston School District, their plan for this year for implementing the Smarter Balance is that they will only have the juniors come to school for 2 weeks to take the Smarter Balance assessment because they don't have the bandwidth to have other students doing things. To shut down school for 2 weeks because of technology and a test, that doesn't make sense for students. That's what we're saying. There's a better way. We need to make sure we're prepared before we do this. And, you know, we've had districts across the state do technology bonds in order to buy the technology that they need. Some have passed, some haven't. But if we're going to provide a quality education for each and every student in Oregon, then the adults in the state have to decide that we're dedicated to making sure that we provide the support and resources in order to do that. And OEA has been advocating for quite some time. We need to address revenue. Ever since Measure 5 passed in 1990, we've been struggling to ensure that every student has quality learning conditions. So we'll be doing that until we finally get there.
The Common Core state standards have been mentioned a couple times thus far, and we haven't really illuminated that corner of things yet. So where are the Common Core state standards coming from?
Well, the Common Core state standards were developed by the there were a couple of groups working, and we had some educators, some of the state chief state education officers that worked on creating these. There are lots of great minds that went into creating the standards. But what we haven't done is we haven't taken time to provide parents and students and educators the ability to give feedback on them and make the adjustments necessary to ensure, one of the previous callers mentioned, that we're looking at every student and what they need to be successful in providing that instruction that gets them from where they are to where they need to be. And that's part of our priority action plan, is to make sure that we have educators working together with parents to provide that input and then make the changes necessary. And let's ensure that each and every student has the instruction that they need.
But while the term state may throw a few people, the fact is the Common Core standards are actually they're applied on a national level, aren't they?
Well, they were adopted originally, I believe, by 45 states. And so there are some states who are now moving away from the standards. They've created their own. All states have had standards. We've had Oregon standards. We've had educators working on them. And again, OEA, our members, for the most part, support the standards. They're very concerned and believe that the implementation of the Common Core state standards is the issue. And that's where we get into the Smarter Balance assessment that's being pushed too fast. And we don't have a plan in place as a state to make sure that we provide the instruction to our students. That's what we're advocating for. And we believe we can create that path together. And that's what we're trying to do. This isn't about a battle between OEA and Rob Saxton or Nancy Golden. This is a battle against Arnie Duncan telling us we have to implement this right now. And Oregon's better than that. And our educators in this state are ready to lead the way. And we'd ask that we'd stand together and help Secretary Duncan understand that we are going to get it right because our students deserve better.
So are the Common Core state standards, though, for example, terribly different from what's already being taught in a state like Oregon?
Well, they have some components, as I've shared, with No Child Left Behind and the OAKS test. We got away from critical thinking because the OAKS test was all a bubble-in test.
Mm-hmm.
And so educators, even if you talk about, we've been talking in Oregon about STEM and making sure it's science, technology, engineering, and math. We have districts who haven't been able to provide time, or the educators have been told, put the science curriculum on the shelf because we need to focus on literacy and math. That's not right for students. That's what we've been doing. So the new assessments and the new standards really get into more critical thinking that we believe is really important and we're excited about. And it provides an opportunity for students to provide an answer that's more than bubbling in an answer on a computer. So there are really some great things coming, but we've got to take the time to do it right. And we're not going to get it right if we don't engage parents, educators, and students in the path.
Let us take another call here. Sandy in Mount Shasta. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Hannah Vandering, the president of the Oregon Education Association.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you guys are discussing this morning. I'm so glad the OEA is fighting back against what I see as Arnie Duncan's, at best, misguided supposed leadership of the education in this country. And I'm so sick of seeing teachers vilified as the cause of any and all failures that are occurring in our public education system, because I see the real reason for any decline is then as being rooted in our society's pretty massive economic inequality. And all of the so-called education reformers talk about it the other way around, as if poverty can be eradicated somehow by loading teachers down even more with the responsibility that they're supposed to somehow magically instill resiliency and hope for a better future in children that are often living in circumstances that the Arnie Duncans and the Bill Gateses of the world would never allow their kids to experience. And I read a recent interview with Bill Gates where he stated that his belief was that economic inequality was actually diminishing, so I guess everything's pretty okay on planet Gates. The way I see it here on Earth, poverty is still the greatest impediment to good education, and I'm still waiting for someone to explain to me how being the guy who created the business that spread some of the world's worst software around qualifies you to be an educational expert. I work in early childhood education myself, and I'm especially disturbed by the idea that keeps getting promulgated that younger and younger children should be loaded down with having to deal with academic subjects that aren't really developmentally appropriate for them. I just wish this country would go back to actually supporting teachers who are currently tearing them down and driving many of them out of teaching. To me, that's hugely sad.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call, Sandy. Appreciate that. Thoughts, Hannah?
Oh, well, thank you so much for the comments. We have 42,000 members who are working every day to make a difference in the lives of our students, and we're ready to stand up and lead because our students deserve better. And those reformers, as Sandy mentioned, have come in and tried to tell us how to do our jobs, but they don't understand. Poverty is the issue in Oregon. We're the second hungriest state in the nation. Our students are not coming to school prepared to learn because they're not coming to school having had a healthy breakfast. They don't have the things that they need to be successful. So as educators, we're working every day to make sure that we meet the needs of those students by helping them feel safe in our schools, providing them the inspiration to learn and know that they can be successful. And that is so important that we engage our parents in this conversation, and I really appreciate the comments.
I'm glad you brought up critical thinking, because I hear that complaint a lot from members of our audience when they call in, not necessarily about education, but other subjects as well. Just a sense that kids don't learn these kinds of skills anymore. So you are talking about teaching critical thinking. How, I guess, is one large question, but then at what age do you start doing that?
you know, it starts in kindergarten, critical thinking, and allowing them, I mean, part of it is providing them opportunities to engage in learning with their other students, their peers, and making sure that they have some creative activities. And when we have focused on these tests and literacy and math, and that's all that matters, the love of learning goes right out of our schools. And we want to put that back in our schools so that we can engage our students in activities and those formative assessments that are important for us to get feedback and for students to get the information they need so they can learn. But it is, it's not about bubbling in an answer. It's about thinking. It's about providing quality answers back to questions that educators ask. And that's our, we have the ability to build that if we take the time to get it right.
You know, I guess the large question that comes to mind, and we're talking about large as in time, not just in space, but has there ever been a time when this country was satisfied with what was coming out of the public educational system? Because I think I was still in school when the magazine articles about why can't Johnny read began to come out. And so there have been complaints for decades now about the public education system is not doing this correctly or this correctly or this correctly. And I'm not even sure that any reform movement gets a chance to take hold before the next wave seems to sweep in. Is that your perception as well?
Absolutely. And, you know, A Nation at Risk came out. When A Nation at Risk came out and talked about how we were failing and we look at how we're judged against other nations, let's look about what we do to provide education to each and every student in our nation. Poverty in the United States is out of control. And the income equality is, I mean, if Bill Gates believes it's going away, he hasn't looked at any of the real scientific data about where we're at. And in education, people have tried to come in and tell us what to do and how to do it and what they wanted. Oregon, when we created the Oregon Education Investment Board, the governor talked about tight loose. And that was the one thing that really excited me, because if we know that the Common Core State Standards are what we believe are most important, then if people would get out of the way who are trying to reform us and allow educators to work with students and parents to create the path, and we'll get to the standards, but when we're told this is what you're to do and how to do it, we can't provide the differentiated instruction for our students. And so that's why, as we're looking at the path forward, it is about educators creating the assessments that guide their instruction, and we can do that if we just take the time to breathe and build a plan together and push back on those people who want to tell us this is how you have to do it and here's how you're going to spend millions of dollars on these tests. Let's spend money on creating formative assessments, and we're not a for-profit organization like a lot of these reformers are. We want to get it right for our students.
By the way, I went back and checked, and Why Can't Johnny Read was actually from 1955, so it's been out there for a very long time now, 60 years nearly. When we talk about teachers and unions and school reform, there is a lot of pressure to change things like tenure, because as already been mentioned by several people in this program, often the blame is getting put on the classroom teachers. They're not getting the job done. Therefore, that's why the students aren't learning, which must make you feel embattled at times. But also, I mean, do you think about, is there much flexibility among people in the teaching profession about, okay, well, maybe we could undo tenure for X number of people, something like that? I mean, how much flexibility does exist in there, Hannah Vandering?
We don't have tenure in Oregon. We haven't had for quite some time. We have a 2-year contract, in which educators are put on, they have an evaluation plan, and that's one of the things that we've focused on over the last several years with Senate Bill 290. It was a mandate that we had evaluation tools. We talk about evaluation tools as professional growth and evaluation. There should not be an educator working with students who does not have the skills to be successful with those students. We've created those. We're using those. We need to make sure that people who say we need to get rid of we need to get rid of bad teachers. Well, go into your schools and find, you know, what are those examples that you're seeing in your school? It's just this rhetoric around how our public schools are failing. It's not about people who are in our schools seeing what's going on and providing feedback. We are very excited about making sure that these evaluation tools are implemented appropriately. And I applaud the administrators who, this is something that we've spent a lot of time on, not only the educators, but the administrators, and getting it right and making sure that we're giving quality feedback to educators as well around their performance.
All right. We certainly appreciate all the knowledge and the perspective. Hannah Vandering, the president of the Oregon Education Association, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Have a good weekend.